Mark chapter 11. The last time, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is now within his last 5 days, 6 days before he's crucified. And he enters the temple. And when he comes into the temple, what does he do? He turns the tables upside down. He chases out the money changers. He makes quite an uproar. And then he makes an announcement. How many remember the announcement? My house, my Father's house, is a house of prayer. For who? For all nations. That is the beginning of a proclamation that salvation is coming to all mankind on earth through Jesus Christ. Do you know how much you're worth? You know, if you go to our dealership, he will deal with you. He'll say, you know, 20,000, and you say, no, I'm going to pay 15,000. He says, okay. He says 18,000, and you say, no, I'm going to pay only 17,000. And you deal in real. How many has ever dealt in real on vehicles? And you realize the price they say is not the real price. There's another price. But do you know that there's a price for you? Do you know that the price is? The blood of Jesus who purchased you. And you know how much value the person next to you is? The same price. It doesn't matter whether you're coming or whether you're living in the 5-star hotel called the Hidden Lodge, or you live in Maple Creek, or you live in the White House. My friends, you are simply the same price. How many says amen to that? You're worth exactly the same to Jesus. He paid the price in full. Amen. And that was the announcement he came to say. And then he leaves the temple. And there's a fig tree that he cursed before he got in there. And now he discovered that it's all dead. And then there's a little conversation about that. And then comes the scripture. In 11, verse 22. And let's read it together. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Just go back to the beginning again. Have faith in God, he says. If you have as much faith, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in the heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it'll be done. For who? For who? For us. And we stand praying if you hold it. And therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. Believe. How many have read this scripture before? How many think that is an amazing promise? What does Jesus really mean by this? I have physically never seen a mountain move. I have seen a mountain explodes, like Mount Helen, it exploded in a volcanic eruption. But I actually never seen a physical mountain move. So I don't believe that that's what he's talking about. I believe he's talking about different kinds of mountains. How many here has some mountains that are immovable, that are impassable, that are impossible? Anybody has some of those mountains in front of you? Those are the mountains that you cannot move in your own strength, your own power. There is something that requires supernatural strengths of God to move. Yesterday we were at a healing loss at a Bible study, and I drew a mountain. And I said, so what are your mountains? And the first thing they came up with was addictions, trauma, imprisonment, relationships, depression, health issues. How many knows those can be very much mountain that you're facing in front of you? And how many knows that if you look at those mountains and meditate on the mountains, they become even bigger and more impossible? So what is Jesus saying? He's saying there's something, my friends, that he sees that is beyond that mountain. How many knows that God sees sometimes a mountain that we don't see? A different mountain. And he's pointing to that different mountain here that is the root of all these other things. And it's called a mountain of unbelief. Sometimes, my friends, God would actually deal with things that he sees that you have a difficulty seeing, so you get to where you need to go, so that those mountains that you see can be removed. Anybody got that? So sometimes he sees pride, sometimes he sees selfishness, sometimes he sees unforgiveness. And yes, he sees unbelief. And he wants to bring you to a place of faith. I'm going to give you an illustration of a man. It's a legend that I got from a book called The Circle Maker. And the guy lived about 100 years before Jesus. And it was there was drought. No rain for months. And some of you guys living in Maple Creek can appreciate what that looks like. And in Israel, sometimes they have true drought. There is no rain. And according to the legend, Horn took a 6-foot stick and he made a circle in the sand like that. Then he knelt down and he says, God, I'm not leaving this circle until it rains. How many thinks this guy is serious? How many like to live within a circle like that for days? And after a while, according to the story, it started sprinkling. So he stood up and says, God, I didn't ask for a sprinkle. I asked for the rivers and the creeks to be filled with rain. And he walked again. And after a while, it came pouring down. He says, God, I didn't ask for a downpour. I asked for a gentle rain. And he did it again. And apparently they got rain, and he was known for being the rainmaker, not just a circle maker. How many believes that it's a step of faith when you do that? Amen. In the Old Testament, there's many stories about faith. How many will say, and this came up yesterday, well, how do I have that faith? How can I have faith to climb a mountain or tell the mountain to move? How many likes to have more faith? I saw one hand. Okay, for those who didn't put up your hand, just relax, okay? For that one person who put up the hand, this is for you. And I have to put up my hand too, okay? Because there's several times when I face giants on mountains. And I need faith. And I can't always live on the past faith. I need faith. Amen. So they didn't like my sermon, so that's okay. Anyway, let me give you an illustration from the Old Testament of this mountain-moving faith. The story is of Moses. And Moses is living in the backwoods, and God shows up in the burning bush, remember? And God speaks to Moses, says, Moses, take off your sandal, you're standing on holy ground. I heard the cry of my people in Egypt, and I'm going to send you, and you're going to deliver them. And there's a little conversation. Moses says, well, who should I say you are? And God says, I am who I am. And then God gives a promise. And the promise is, I'll be with you. And Moses doesn't have the faith to do what he needs to do. He hasn't faced his mountain yet, but he needs faith to get there. So God does a few little things. He says, Moses, what do you got in your hand? I got a, what do you call it, a cane? Staff. Throw it down. And it turns into a snake. He says, pick it up by the tail. I say, well, no, you don't pick up snakes by the tail. So it takes courage and faith and obedience to do it. And he does it and turns back into a staff. He says, take your hand. Put it inside your shirt. He put it inside his shirt and out comes leprosy. And he says, put it back in there and out comes a clean hand. Why was that all about? It was to build faith in Moses. So when he actually faced the mountain that he needed to face, he will not run away. Sometimes, my friends, God has given you some experiences as a way to build your faith, to prepare you for the mountain that he's called you to face. There is a stretching in your heart. How many say, can ever say, I've been stretched? My faith has been stretched. So Moses goes before Pharaoh. Long story short. And who is Pharaoh? Pharaoh is the most powerful man on the earth at the time, who held the Hebrews in slavery. Who today holds people in slavery? Who? Satan. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Moses, with all the courage that God has given him, knowing that God has promised, I'll be with you, stands before Pharaoh. Says, Pharaoh, let my people go. And what does Pharaoh do? He says, no way. This is my own paraphrase. No way, Jose. You're not going to take down my people. These are free labor. I don't want them to leave. And besides, if you have that much time to go in the desert to worship, I'm going to ask those slaves to build bricks without straw. I remember that. Now, the problem was, Moses had a circle. He had a mountain, and he had circled the mountain. It was Pharaoh. That was Pharaoh. And the promise was, God will be with you. That was the promise. That's what makes the circle. But now he had another circle he had to make, because there was another mountain. Now it wasn't just Pharaoh. It was also the slaves that he had come to free. Now they also turned against him. How many knows that sometimes when you're a leader, you end up being criticized from both sides? So Moses needed, when you have a mountain, my friends, that means you have a problem. How many here has a problem? When you have a problem, you need to pray. And when you pray, you need to hear for the promise. There is a promise that God has for you. Listen to the promise. Moses, in Exodus 5, we see there he, if you don't mind, there you see how they came to him. Moses, they came to him and said, my Lord, look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious, or some translation said, a stench in Pharaoh's nostrils and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord. That's there he's praying and said, why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak, he's into a little pity party. He's getting down on his knees. God, why did you send me here to die? What is this all about? And then God answers. How many likes when God answers? In Exodus 6, he said, now you'll see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. Moses went to Pharaoh. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And he remembered God said, you'll be with me. But something worse happened. Sometimes, when you circle your mountain and you begin to pray, sometimes worse things happen before the good comes. How many has felt sometimes you need to press through? You need to press through. And Moses pressed through and he heard God says, watch me. And how many plagues came? No. 10 plagues came. Not the first one, not the second one, not the third one, not the fourth one, not the fifth one, not the whatever, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th one. And before Pharaoh finally bowed his knees. But why did it take that long? Not just to bow Pharaoh's knees, but it was also to demonstrate to the Hebrews that this is God Almighty. Because they had no faith. And every one of the plagues attacked the gods of Egypt. Every one of them. I don't have time to go into that, but if you look into it, you'll find every one of those plagues attacked the gods of Egypt. God Almighty is saying, I am greater than what you see. And so Moses takes him out in the desert. And where does God lead him? Against the Red Sea. And most unlikely place to go. There was a lot shorter place. He didn't need to go there, but God leads him there up against the Red Sea. And as you remember the story, they look up and there comes Pharaoh, who changed his mind, and he comes with his great army, the greatest army that the world has ever known, and his chariots, and they are full of fear. What is the mountain? Pharaoh's army. They need to hear from God. We read in Exodus 14, Moses, he got up, he had heard from God, he feels he heard from God, and he musters as much faith as he can get. How many here has ever sometimes you need to muster faith and put on a good mask and you declare something that you were really not really sure about, but you still do it. You know, it's okay to do that. He says to the front of all, probably 1.5 million people, do not be afraid. You know when God steps in, when an angel steps in and talks to you and in the midst of a crisis and you have a storm and you have a mountain, how often does the angel not say, do not be afraid? Because when you look at the mountain, what are we doing? We are fearful. And faith is the opposite of fear. Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will, what? Fight for you. He only be still. Wow. That's the very opposite of what the flesh wants to do. It is to run or defend yourself or go for swimming across the Red Sea. He said, don't be still. Now, I wanted to tell you this. As I read on, Moses didn't have as much confidence as it looks like because he's laying down on the ground and he's crying out to God. My friends, sometimes I get to prayer meetings and the prayers I heard is prayers of unbelief. Oh God, oh God, oh God. And it's oh God every second word and there's no faith. In fact, I feel sometimes when I listen to some prayers, it's like they're talking themselves out of it. And Moses is busy crying out. That's why I know he didn't have so much confidence. Because the next line is, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying out? Well, that seems obvious. Sometimes when you pray, God's going to say, I heard you. Now this is what I want to do. Sometimes in the prayer, God is actually asking for an action. You prayed for this relationship. Now go and phone them and ask for forgiveness. You're praying for a job. Now filling out an application form. And send it in. You're praying for healing, and God may say, stop eating chocolate bars and exercise. Jump in church. How many knows that God can be that practical? In our prayers and intercessions for the prayers to move, for the mountains to move, God sometimes will actually say, this is what you need to do. Get up and declare my promise. And he goes to the Red Sea, as God told him to do, with his staff, raised it and put out his hand. And the Red Sea opens, and Pharaoh's army is done. That mountain has been conquered. But on the other side of the mountain, on the other side, there is another one. Sometimes we don't get done with one, we get into another one. You see, on the other side, there's a desert. And not so much has grown there, not too much water, and not too many animals, and there's 1.5 million people, and Moses needs to feed them. And these people let Moses know very clearly when things are not good by grumbling and complaining. And Moses' faith has to stand up sometimes for all of them. And so Moses, again, he makes the circle around the problem. And he cries out to God, God, we need some food. And God gives a promise. What's the promise? He'll send manna every day. But hear me. He leaves some instructions. Only take as much manna as you can eat on one day, not anymore. And on Fridays, take enough manna for 2 days. Why is he doing that? Because I believe he wants you to be completely dependent on him on a day-to-day basis. Our faith is a daily thing, my friends. Amen. I don't need to go through the rest of the story, but my friends, going through the desert, there's different mountains they face. And every time it goes through the same pattern, God, this is my problem. And Moses prays. And then that's a promise. And then he prays some more, and then there's provision. That's sort of the pattern. When Moses prays, who's he praying for? Moses is frequently seeing not merely his own mountain, but he's seeing the mountain of the people of Israel. I believe that when God says, when you tell this mountain to move, it is not just your own mountain. It is a mountain that involves the people that he loves. Amen? Sometimes they don't like the man anymore and they want food, they want meat. How many like some meat, some steak once in a while? So I'm just going to stop there and say the pattern is the same. There is a problem. There is a prayer needed and there is a promise. And then there is provision that comes. And in this journey, when you pray, there comes usually a point when you know God has heard you. And you no longer need to plead. You can actually stand on the promise he's given you with praise. Let me give you some examples. Let me give you one of my own. end of November, we were $37,000 short of the budget. So, what do you do as a pastor? I got, somebody heard my message. They said, pray. Pray. And what was I looking for? I was looking for his promise. Whatever that would be, I'm okay. I just need to know that you heard me, God. I just need to know. And one of the scriptures he gave me was 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. He said, listen, this is God speaking. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judea and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. It's God's. It's God's. I like that. I really like that. Say, thank you, Jesus, it's yours. Do you know what they did? You see, Jehoshaphat had an army surrounding Israel. Those three different nations, and they gathered around to destroy Israel. And he knew, Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, knew that he could not defeat the army. And when he prayed out, God gave him this promise. And do you know what they did? They sent out a worship team. If you read the rest of the story, they sent out a worship team. And what do you think they sang? I don't know what they sang. How was that the song? Remember that they defeated the chariots and I can't remember that song now, but if I could sing it, I would sing it for you right now. They sang, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are of victory. You are a redeemer. You are a deliverer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a strong tower. Thank you, Lord, that you take our enemies and cast them in the sea. Sometimes when you get a promise, before you see the result, remember in Scripture it says, believe, pray and believe that you have received it. Sometimes when you know what God has said, it's time to praise Him. Amen. In Nehemiah, God gave me this other word. In Nehemiah 2, verse 20, it says, I answer them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. Now, my friends, you can go to the Bible and pick out whatever you want to pick out, okay? But when you pray and ask God, show me a promise, then God will take the word many times. How many has ever experienced that? Time and time again, you experienced that when you were in a crisis, God would take the word that you just needed to hear. And it brings a promise to you. Amen? So, at the end of November, I declared those two. And we had a board meeting the other day. I said, remember, this is all about faith. Everything we do in here is supernatural. It's God's provisions. And somebody said, Hans, I was the one who tithed all year. And I thank you. Because when I ask or somebody asks, God often will put somebody else on their hearts to help, right? So thank you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't use people. He uses people all the time. How many know so you can be an answer to a prayer that somebody else prays? Amen. Do you know that everything we do here is by faith? We cannot go to the Healing Lodge. We cannot hire Paul. We cannot hire me. You cannot do these things, have Bible studies and all youth groups and all these. We cannot do it. We cannot have this building. We cannot have Gary coming here cleaning and fixing things and doing all that without God's provision, and it's by faith. Every year, for 21 years, I've seen faith in God's provision. Amen. I'm going to give you one more illustration and then maybe I'm done. This is actually what I just read last night. It was in India. There was a village, and there was a drought, very drought. It was like months and months, and no rain. The cracks in the soil, and they had some food, but all the drinking water was running dry. The wells were running dry, and it looks like people are going to die of thirst. There was two missionaries, and the two missionaries was praying, God, we need water. And they drew a circle. Said, Lord, we're going to intercede for that. We need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. And then God gave her, the one of them, a promise. Joshua 1:6. Whatever you put your foot on, that's yours. Remember? Joshua got the promise from God. But you thought, that's a strange kind of promise. But she went out and said to the workers, dig a hole right here. So they dug down 4 feet, and there was a rock. They called somebody else, another missionary in the neighboring village, had some dynamite, and they blew the rock, and they kept digging 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, and suddenly water came bubbling out of there. In the meantime, everybody in the village had been laughing. There is no water here. It's impossible. But God showed himself true. Some other guys came because they wanted to figure out, where did this water come from? And they never could figure out where the water came from. But it filled the well, and they continue to drink from it even today. Amen? So my friends, when we were at the Healing Lodge yesterday, I drew the mountain, and they said, these are the mountains we face. Trauma, stress, addictions. I said, but with every one of those, there is actually a promise. How many believe there is a promise that we can hang on to? And I asked him for a different one, and one of the ones that came out was 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. Amen. When you allow that promise to get into your spirit, when the temptation does come, because it will come, you remember, God, there is a door open somewhere. And I shared that with a healing lodge, and one of them said, Hans, every time I was tempted, there always was a door. I just didn't take it. I don't want to go away with some kind of abstract thing. This is how God works. He gives us a promise, and he wants us to have faith. Are you okay with this? Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. There's a problem. There's a promise. And there's a provision. There's a problem. There's a prayer needed. And in the prayer, you need to hear what God says that he has for you. That's the promise. And when you hear the promise, you need to intercede for the promise to come to fruition. Daniel prayed 21 days. What if he stopped on the 20th day? There is something about pressing in and pressing through. Don't give up. God is in this place. Let us stand.